Are you ready?
I think so.
Welcome to Formal Nachos, a podcast where we learn things. I'm Tamara Turney.
And I'm Jeff Budke. And let's remember, this is not a visual medium.
Drink. Oh, man. It's good to see you, Jeff. I haven't seen you all week.
Yeah, we haven't seen each other because we only speak during the show.
Yeah, actually, the show has been really bad for our friendship.
We avoid each other so that we can tell each other stories on the podcast.
We've got to stockpile all of the stories, and we can't see each other.
We only have, like, 5 stories each, and so we save them, compile them, put them in a list of 10.
That's right. It's really nice when we don't get to all 10 because then we're like, yes, more fuel for next week.
We don't have to do things this week. We can do last week's.
Oh, man. How was your week?
This week was crazy. It was really fun. I feel like we should introduce one more person.
Oh.
That we may or may not have forgotten.
Hey, Josh, you're here.
Hello.
This is,
It is I.
It's a solid streak for you.
You've been here 2 times.
I've been here and awake.
Josh,
twice in a row.
We got so much feedback last week that everybody was so pumped that you were on the show.
Yes.
Yeah. Our Twitter was blowing up.
Yes.
Actually, it wasn't, but...
There was some blowing up of the Twitter.
There was some.
Follow us on Twitter at Formal Nachos, FormalNachos.
Not FML Nachos.
No, that's incorrect. That's... We did not get that one. That was already taken.
That's our
by our rival podcast.
That's our fan.
Fancy Nachos.
Nachos. Fancy My Life Nachos.
They're good too.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, I got a
Josh,
text.
We're glad you're here.
I got a text from my mother that I feel like I do need to share.
This is
we're going off script. We script all of our shows, for those that don't know, and this is going off script.
It helps with the social anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mother texted me at 8:37 a.m. this morning, "What was AIM?"
Oh, my gosh, that was your mom.
I wrote, AOL Instant Messenger, and then she responded, "Oh, that's funny. There are a handful of families that email me with an AOL account, and I make fun of them." Which was so great, because my mom doesn't make fun of anyone.
Your mom is a saint, and yet this brings her back to normal.
AOL
life.
Makes her laugh. She thinks I'm funny, she thinks the show's kind of funny, and then she thinks people with AOL accounts is hilarious.
Oh my gosh, Linda, your sense of humor. Thanks for listening, and being the most dedicated fan we have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easily.
Easily. Every show.
We have a guest today that would like to argue. He can challenge that, actually.
Oh.
I'm going to take this opportunity to introduce him so he's allowed to talk for the rest of the episode.
He's like quietly waiting.
Holding in my laugh. Yeah. We have a guest in studio. Joey Walker, thank you so much for being on the show.
Jeff's friend, Joey.
It's my friend, Joey. Right. He's not allowed to be friends with anyone else.
Actually, for like the first 2 years that I knew you, I didn't actually know much about you other than... Jeff's friend Joey. That's the only thing I knew.
My friend Joey.
It was like you were his only friend for a while.
There have been many people competing to be my friend. I only get one.
Which is, you know, like
and
our friendship.
I have to choose all the time, and usually I pick Joey. So, Joey, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you drove all the way up just to be on the show.
All the way up.
You actually drove all the way up and then to Vancouver and then back here to be on the show. That's pretty
drove
impressive.
Drove to Seattle, took a wrong turn, went to Canada. Turned back around, and here he is in the Turnipaw.
By way of Marysville, I hear?
Well, we did. Yeah. We did well at the border, which was surprising.
Well, I did well.
I may have crumbled under pressure.
What happened?
He goes, do you own any firearms? And I go, no, I don't.
Get on the passenger seat.
Leans over me from the passenger seat. I don't own any either. And the guy was like, what? I don't own any either.
I shouted it.
What?
As if that would make it better and more believable.
And I was just very
unnecessary
nervous because of Jeff's apparent nerves.
Oh so my god.
The border makes me nervous. I don't know why. I was like...
That's true, though. Customs or Border Patrol at all.
Yeah.
Because I remember a time that we went to Mexico together on the way back. The guy asked you, like, oh, you spent $50, huh? What sort of things did you buy? And you're like, thanks for my mom. I was like, Jeff, you bought souvenirs. And you're like, souvenirs! And the custom officer just stared at you like... Something's wrong with this guy.
He clearly did not buy souvenirs, nor does he own a firearm.
Yeah.
I will say, I have that same feeling whenever I'm going through any kind of checkpoint, like whether that's going into California and they do the like fruits and vegetable checkpoint or mm-hmm. going into Canada. I think when we went to Canada, Josh, they asked us like, do you have any food or anything like that? And we had brought stuff for like a whole week. And I was like, and then I just started listing off, well, we have eggs, we have tomatoes, we have lettuce, we have this, we have this. And she was like, you're going to have to get rid of all of that. And Josh was like, you just blew our whole meal plan for the week.
Yeah.
But I thought, maybe she has x-ray vision? I don't know.
Maybe she'll know.
Yeah, and if she didn't know, God would, so.
You can't lie to a Canadian.
Christian podcast. Right.
And on top of that, you can't lie to a Canadian. They're some of the nicest people. You really are.
We can attest to that.
Definitely a nice group of people.
Amazing. Marysville humans, not as nice,
not so nice.
Or pleasant.
Wait, so what happened in Marysville?
For those that don't know, in between Seattle and Canada, there's a town called Marysville. Josh, did you ever spend any time in Marysville at any soccer tournaments growing up?
Yeah.
And it's small.
Oh yeah, small town.
Small town. And we
it's
pull
a
over.
Highway town.
Yeah. Joey and I pull over, highway town, there you go. And there are two competing Shell stations. Next to each
across
other.
Across the street from
across
each other.
Across the street from each other.
Gosh.
And I pointed the one with, there's like a Bigfoot Java. And I was like, oh, I'll get to refill my coffee because that'll work. And we go in, I walk up, and the woman was not pleased to see us just at all. I was like, hey, do you guys have a restroom? And she went, you have to go across the street, but they're not connected to our Shell station, so you'll have to pay for something there.
Clearly tension. Between the two Shell stations.
Whoa!
The Shell station's not happy with each other. A little cannibalistic in nature, probably. So I was like, oh, we didn't like that?
This is aggressive.
Oh, okay.
Term.
What would
like, they're eating each other?
They're eating each other's profits, probably.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense.
Economic
Did they
jokes.
Have...
I went real literal.
This is no longer a comedy podcast. This is an economics Christian podcast.
Economics / Christian / zombies.
Pro-Canadian? Oh, boy.
Plus
Canadian.
Pro-Canadian.
Cut. Edit.
Cut.
And so we cross the street. On the way across the street, there was a man in a Captain America.
Yep.
He had the shield shirt on. And
to which I yelled, Team Cap.
Yeah, which I didn't understand at first. Then I saw him. I was like, oh, Team Cap. Okay.
Did he understand? Did he hear you?
Well, the windows were up.
Oh.
It was mostly for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a joke.
It was mostly
that was for me.
That was a freebie. That was for me. And so we, like, are going to cross the street to the other Shell station. And Captain America just puts both hands in the air and flips off...
Double bird
to no one.
Just to Earth.
Well, to Canada.
Well, to Canada.
They were moving around.
What?
And so at first I thought it was to us, and I was like, oh, I don't know what happened. Maybe we did something wrong. But then we, like, passed him, and so we were only in the line of the double bird for, like, a second. And I was like, oh, that clearly wasn't for us. He would have followed the trajectory of the car.
Yeah.
We passed it seamlessly. We get out of the car. He walks up to a taxi and asks if they're taking applications for jobs.
Yo, you taking applications?
I got a resume in my back pocket. Let me put my birds away.
Oh, no.
I didn't catch anything after that.
Yeah.
Because the Shell station employee was really upset that we had crossed the street to use her bathroom.
Yes.
I feel like it was her personal bathroom. The way she treated us.
Wow. Was it a nice bathroom, at least?
No.
No.
Oh,
so, I bought something.
Okay.
Just to make... this
in case
easier.
Anyone from Marysville is listening.
Like,
I bought something.
Right. We come in peace.
So she gave us the spatula key.
It was a fly swatter.
Oh, you're right.
A fly swatter key. My thought process when I get a key is, well, at least it's probably going to be clean because, like, they have control of it. There's not just people coming and going constantly and they can, like, go in there and clean
it.
They
can monitor it.
Not the case.
So Whilst Joey uses the restroom, there I am in line, and then another human, a male human, is in line behind me. The two of us are standing there, and a third person walks up to us and says, hey, can I use y'all's bathroom? And I looked at the other guy in line, he looked at me, and we went, we don't work here. And he went, cool, and left. No follow-up.
Oh.
Different, not Captain America, different guy. And
characters around these parts.
Yeah.
So did he use your bathroom?
I don't think so.
Well, no.
I haven't been home today. I don't
we saw we saw what happened.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Once we finally left the second Shell station, we saw him walk from behind the building.
Very clearly.
We can only assume that he was...
found other means.
Yeah.
He was getting it done.
Probably... prepping for his Bible study, he was on his way to.
Just saying a few prayers. Listen it to the Lord.
As you would expect of anyone from Marysville.
Yeah. I assume they're all God's people.
Yeah.
Marysville.
It's a God's country, really.
Mm.
Did you guys know that close to Canada, close to where you guys were, in Linden, was a Trump rally today?
We saw some Trump people.
So there might be all kind of crazy out there on the way. That might explain
Captain
some of
America.
It.
Captain America, yeah.
He was in Eugene yesterday. He's making his rounds to the...
Yeah.
Is the Republican Washington primary next week?
I have no idea. I just heard that in Linden there was a rally. And
it's coming up, I think.
Yeah.
Whoa.
The Linden Trump rally must have been something else.
Must have been happening.
Wow.
Bumping.
Yeah, there were some folks on overpasses holding signs.
Trump signs.
Make America great again. Signs.
Make Donald Trump again.
I like that slogan a lot better.
Speaking of Trump, Cinco de Mayo was this week.
Which he loves.
He loves. He loves
Hispanics.
I don't think I've ever said that like confident. Like, I don't think I've ever said that as confidently as he did this week. I love Hispanics.
Oh my gosh.
But Cinco de Mayo is a Mexican holiday. Like, Hispanics aren't all Mexican. Anyways, I digress.
It'd be like 4th of July,
gosh.
Like, I love Caucasians.
Oh, they're just a great people.
Especially those from the caucus.
They have the best foods.
Oh my gosh. Whoa.
Well,
the best
that.
Words.
Yeah.
The best.
And the tiniest hands. But, that tweet that he sent out that was like the picture and the I Love Hispanics and all that, Brad Evans of the Sounders retweeted it and said, I would play for free if I could smash his face into that taco. Which I thought was kind of funny. I was like, okay, Brad,
clever.
Fine, whatever.
It's nice.
But apparently Twitter like exploded.
Oh, I'm sure. That's such
Sounders
a weird
are just
tweet.
Dreaming about all that cap space and didn't have to pay Brad Evans.
I saw someone like retweet it. Someone retweeted like, well, when Trump's president, you're not going to play for the national team anymore. I didn't know that's how that worked, but all right.
Does he have jurisdiction
what if
over the national team?
Yeah. He gets the final say.
Yeah.
Goes Trump, Klinsman, and then Brad Evans has some say.
Yeah.
Down below.
Oh my gosh.
You went out for Cinco de Mayo though, Tamara, right?
I sure did.
As we meander our way to this topic that
we
planned.
I actually kind of forgot that it was Cinco de Mayo, and that's probably fine. I mean, I'm white. So,
for those out there listening.
But you are Texan.
That's true. I'm Texan. So I did grow up celebrating Cinco de Mayo and El 16 de Septiembre and all that. But Savannah texted me and was like, hey, it's Cinco de Mayo. You want to get a margarita? And I was like, yeah, let's totally do it. That sounds
what
fun.
The Hispanics would want.
It's what everyone would want. So, and it had been
a
long
time. Fathers would want.
Washington would be so proud. It had been a really long work week, and I was like, yeah, let's totally do it. Sounds great. So we went to Pecado Bueno in Fremont.
Sinwell.
They have the best tacos, I think, in Fremont. They're just really delicious. And we walked up. Like, it's always a circus. We used to live right around the corner. And so every Cinco de Mayo, we would be up until midnight listening to whatever band they had. And our neighbor would be so pissed off because the next day there'd be so many beer bottles in our trash can. She'd be like, I know it's that Mexican restaurant. She's like a 90-year-old woman.
She also loves Hispanics.
So, anyways, we walk up and there's a crazy line. And the best part about it, we get our margaritas, we get our tacos, we get our nachos, all that. The best part is they have a 3-person Caribbean steel drum band playing at the Cinco de Mayo celebration.
Relevant.
Reggae. Yeah, reggae.
It was like, yeah, it was totally reggae. It was like steel drums and like Caribbean moves. And Savannah was like, wait, do they celebrate Cinco de Mayo in
Do they celebrate the defeat of the French invasion?
Oh, great. There goes Josh. What we learned on the show.
Jamaicans love that.
It was a good time. It was a really good
Down
time.
Down with the French.
I think all of Fremont was there. It was very busy.
I will always laugh at the the generic, like, the trumpet noise. And for some reason, it, like, feels...
Mariachi?
Yeah, the mariachi.
Oh, okay.
They played the mariachi band. They played that for the bell the entire day, and the kids lost it at school.
That's
they were
fun.
All just the entire day in the hall. It's just everyone just yelling. That sounded like a dog, but there's a lot of that.
It sounded like Blue from Blue's Clues.
Is that the male? Alrighty,
Steve.
So Joey, because of Cinco de Mayo, and because of all these trips that we're making in Marysville, we brought you on the show to talk about residential mental health.
Oh!
Yes.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing in Portland, and your job, and I guess a little bit of what your goal is there, and what happens?
For sure.
It's a very long question to just ask, what you doing?
Yeah. What's up? Yeah, I work at a residential mental health facility. For my facility specifically is for children, so under 17 years old. On our campus, there's 4 different units based on age and where they're at developmentally. I work with the youngest kids. Mm-hmm. So
how old is that?
Ish. 5 to 9.
Wow.
But 9-year-olds who are there are going to be developmentally much younger.
Yeah.
Well... So yeah, I'm what's called a skills trainer. Basically, my job is just creating like a really safe environment for them to go about their day. There's a school on campus, so they go to school on campus, and you know, they're eating all their meals and playing and having fun and doing a lot of like group therapy and therapy stuff. So just hanging out with kids and trying to keep them safe, but also like the clinical team is giving us a lot of information like, Johnny is working on this, so help him to kind of process through those things when those opportunities present themselves.
How long do you get to work with a kid? Like, maybe what's the average stay?
It really ranges a lot.
Okay.
We have kids who will be there for around a year.
Oh, wow.
Which is really long.
Yeah.
It's a long time to be in residential. Like, the unit that I work on, we have 3 kids that have been there for around a year.
And they stay there...
They live there.
How often do they leave?
There's opportunity to earn home visits, and parents can come visit if...
That's incredible.
Yeah, but most of them don't ever leave. But then sometimes we have kids who come for a couple months because they're working on, you know, just some anxiety stuff, and the clinical team deems that they've worked through that, and they discharge.
How did you get into this?
Yeah, well, I went to school for psychology.
Me too.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Josh? Nor I.
Team psych.
Team psych.
The cycles? What was it?
The SPU cyclers.
Yeah, that's right.
That's our biking
team. I remember
team.
That.
Yeah. You liked that
I
joke.
Was jealous. I was like, oh, I wish I had that. We didn't have a name. We did have a psychology club, but no one showed up. There was this one guy really pushing for it.
Bummer.
No one came.
It's a great club.
Yeah. One dude.
It's Josh's favorite club.
That's
week.
My favorite club. I have those kind of clubs all the time.
Some
reading
call it,
time with
so,
Josh.
Some people call it introvert club, psych club, mental health, whatever.
Right.
Josh time.
Josh time.
Yeah.
So you went to school for psychology.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the school I went to is pretty close to the facility that I work at.
Okay.
And a lot of people that graduate from Multnomah, where I went to school, end up working here. So it's kind of like, oh, that's an option.
Wow.
And I applied to a lot of different residential places because I knew that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And got a job.
Wow.
And accepted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long have you been there?
I've been there 4 months.
4 months. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Millennials Do Stuff, the podcast that I...
Do you know about this?
Do you know about
yes.
this, Tara? Yeah.
Yeah, you told me.
Joey had this wonderful...
This was like 2 weeks ago that he told me.
Joey had this wonderful idea that he, for a podcast where we would, like, him and I would go around and interview people about what they do, and we'd call Millennials Do Stuff.
It wasn't even me.
It
was
me.
Like, for you.
Well, I stole it.
I just remember, and I remember I was laying in bed, texting,
yeah,
and not a visual medium.
I didn't say that.
I didn't say that. Yeah. And I said, hey, I got a good idea for a podcast. Just, like, talking to people who are age who have interesting jobs. And I just felt like Jeff kind of shot it down. He's like, I don't know if that would work. And I was like, oh,
that is a terrible idea.
Like,
and then I texted Tamara. I just copied and pasted what you wrote, and I texted it to Tamara.
And I was like, yes, I love it.
Yeah. So that's why you get a producer's credit on the show.
Whew. Am I the producer that Josh is the assistant to?
What?
I thought Josh was the assistant to the executive producer.
That's actually true.
I've been promoted.
That is your
for season two, he's executive producer.
Oh, yes.
Yes, so you can take whatever. There's really...
They finally started paying me.
There are words that just you can put together and make it sound as cool as you want.
Supreme producer.
Oh, sure. It really all means the same thing. The same role, no matter what you call it.
That's not what you said earlier.
We can't get into a whole lot of specifics, obviously, with the kids because of their identity and their privacy.
Yeah.
Confidentiality.
Yeah, of course. And we would never, ever,
ever,
ever break that.
But seriously.
We knew it. And so, I know Tamara said it earlier. I was like, oh my gosh, like, what do you do to cope with some of the things that you're dealing with every day? Be it, you know, a kid who is having a lot of trouble dealing with small things to a kid, like, really... taking things super hard, having a terrible day, and taking it out on you. What do you do for yourself?
Yeah.
We would call it self-care.
Self-care.
Yeah, that's what we call it in dance, right?
Yeah.
Psych word.
Self-care.
For those playing bingo at home, that's a psych word.
Very self-care, very important. Yeah. Well, for one, like, I think a really good first step is just recognizing that it's really hard and, like, not pretending that you're this,
all-powerful.
Yeah, like...
Captain America.
You're not Captain America. You're not going to be, like, unaffected by...
Not Josh's role on the show. Different than that.
Different than that.
I understand.
That's right.
Yeah, but just recognizing, like, you are going to experience trauma.
Yeah.
Like, that. Some people hear that, and that's, like, kind of, like, a big, scary word, but, like, scary things are going to happen. They're going to, like, affect you, and
totally.
Just recognizing that's going to happen. But then the company that I work for, the facility, is just really, really great at supporting their staff and encouraging self-care. There's a counselor on retainer for us, like, whenever
Whoa.
We want. Like, when I get off my shift, I can, at 11 o'clock at night, I can just pop over
that's
to
so
the counselor.
Cool.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so that's really great. And then we are in a year three of a 10-year process of gaining this kind of like accreditation called Sanctuary.
Hmm.
And it's basically this stamp of trauma-informed care. And a lot of that is self-care.
Wow.
There's so many different like sub-points and parts to that. But just like an example of that would be we do this thing called check-in every day of the staff. And it's three questions. The questions are, how are you feeling? What is your goal for today? And who can help you accomplish that? And it's funny, like, first showing up, it's kind of like, oh, go through the motions, like,
sure.
My goal is just something generic, but then, like, when you start experiencing the difficult things, you find yourself being like, I can't wait to talk to, you know, coworker A about this and go through the, like, check-in process. And
Yeah.
That's coworker
really cool.
A sounds really nice.
What
She's
is
great.
She sounds lovely.
She's great.
Question for you.
Yeah.
You've only been in this job, you said, for 4 months?
Yeah.
What do you feel like prepared you best for this job? Or, like, what are you, like, leaning on now in terms of, like, prior experience?
Yeah.
Knowing me.
Right.
My friendship with
Jeffrey. Friendships.
Yeah. Well, just, like, work experience-wise, worked at the Boys and Girls Club all through college.
That's right.
Not as much trauma, but just, like, general stress level.
Yeah.
Like, we have a 1-to-3 ratio at this facility, which is great. But 1-to-25 at Boys and Girls Club.
Wow.
That's one staff to 25 children can just be kind of nuts. So I think that prepared me. And then not much else.
Yeah.
It's kind of
uncharted territory for you. Then.
Definitely.
Yeah. I feel like inpatient work, like I said at dinner, I think, like, on the spectrum of things, whenever I, like, talk to friends who have done inpatient work, it's just such a, like a unique and really hard thing to do, that there's really nothing else like it, that you're in the middle of all the hard stuff with these kids or adolescents or adults who just really are in a tough spot in their life. So it's, I think it's really cool that you're doing that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for what you're doing. I'm sure you don't get told that enough. Thanks. And we're also really glad you're on the show. And we're really hoping that you'll join in with us or as we go through our wheel of topics.
Yeah.
Tamara, how do you feel about that?
I feel good about it.
Yeah.
If we get to it, I have more questions, but I can ask
We'll ask more questions, I'm sure. Josh, can you help us out with the rant? Wait, what's it called?
iPad
of topics. Good, we nailed it.
And the number's four.
Number four. What was your first job, Tamara?
Oh my gosh. We talked about this at work this last week. So my first job, I was a sales associate at The Buckle.
What is The Buckle?
For those that don't know, it's a...
For those who don't live in Texas right now.
Well, no, I think it's like a store that's around the country. Like, I think they're all over the place.
Joey,
they have them in California.
John?
No. Okay, well, it's like somewhere in the range of, like, American Eagle / Abercrombie & Fitch. They have, like, high-end denim. That's kind of their thing. And they sell, like, Lucky Brand and, like, Seven and Le Tigre. I don't know what just happened.
Two doors just opened and closed, but that's fine.
Okay, anyways, so they sell lots of, like, high-end denim, but they also sell lots of bro-y stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we could, like, look up their website right now, and I really wish you knew what it was. Anyways, I worked on commission at this place. I was 17 years old. 100%
commission?
Well, it was, like, 70% commission. I made, like, $3 an hour, and then whatever I made on commission, I got to take, like, 15% or whatever. Anyways, so... That's what I did. That's where I learned about lots of things because there were lots of college kids who worked there. So I learned about partying, about drugs, about just different relationships, sex, things like that. It was interesting for little Tamara. I mean, I wasn't a sheltered kid, but it was a weird job.
I was very much a sheltered young kid.
Also, I was not very good at working on commission. I would tell people, like, yeah, if you don't want to pay for that, that's really expensive.
Yeah,
you can go next door and get it for half the price.
That is a terrible, terrible sales work.
Yeah, it was pretty awful. I got about 6 months into the job, and then I decided I was done. Earned enough trip money for my senior trip and got the heck out of there.
Deuces.
Yeah.
My first job was... We had, like, a little bit of a tree nursery farm out on the property, so I worked that when I was really young. The first job that I drove to was a custodian for a church.
Okay.
I was terrible at it, and they still make fun of me to this day for how bad I was for a while.
Bad at it?
I was 15.
Like, what did you do?
Barely cleaned my room, much less, like, they'd be like, clean those bathrooms. I'd be like, okay. And that was fun. The funnier first job was after I graduated from college. I panicked and I sold paper door business to business.
Oh my gosh, that job! The like power circles that y'all did at the beginning of the day.
That's how you rock.
We'd get to work in the morning and we would like prep each other. It was like 10 people in the office and we would like pump each other up with music and like, yeah, you're gonna make a sale and you're gonna make a sale and you're gonna make a sale. It's like Oprah was there. And then we'd go out and then we'd come back in the end of the day and we would get in a circle and there'd be a bell on the ground and a little gong and there was like
and a gong. And we have that. We have both of those at the counseling center.
And a gong.
People that want to ring the bell can ring the bell. People who want to ring the gong can ring the gong.
Ooh, wonderful.
Choices.
And if you made a sale, you clicked the bell. If you made two, you rang the bell twice. And if you made three, you got to bang the gong. And, yeah, that was 100% commission. It was awful. Did it for, like, a month. And I would go to 60 businesses a day. And if you got one yes, it was a good day. It was awful.
Yuck. Rejection. Yeah, I remember you at that time. That was, like, early on in our relationship. You did not like that job.
Did not like it. Did not. Joey, what was your first job?
My first job was a landscaping company / tree nursery. But the season that I started was Christmas season. So I was flocking Christmas trees.
Wait, can you, for Savannah, when was this actually? Was it Christmas or was it all year long when they had Christmas trees? Because every day is Christmas for Savannah.
December. So Christmas time.
That joke went.
Literally Christmas.
That joke killed. You follow me at Jeff Budkey for more jokes like that.
Savannah, I hope you're listening. That one was for you.
It's just a long buildup.
And totally worth it.
And totally worth it. So yeah, I worked at a landscaping company, but seasonally we flocked Christmas trees, which is spraying fake snow on trees to make it look like there's snow on them.
What?
And sparkles. And I was good at it.
Can I call you this Christmas to flock my Christmas tree?
No, I don't have access.
Hello.
Oh.
Dude.
It just sounds magical.
That sounds like something.
It does sound like something.
I didn't realize it until after you said that.
Flock.
I was so good year one, my boss decided that we needed to flock trees on a commercial.
Best flocker in the West.
On a commercial scale.
What?
So I would flock from sunup to sundown. All day Saturday and Sunday because I was in high school. So
that's
I couldn't work.
Right. I mean, you had to go to school.
Yeah,
it's
school.
School
you
and sports and things. I was a youth.
That's incredible.
Throw it to him.
Josh, what was your first job?
Joey, take the wheel. I also did some landscaping, but no flocking, much to my chagrin. But that was not a real job, but I got paid. It's very under the table.
Oh.
Because I was a youth.
Were you?
But
was it for drugs?
Yes. But my first real job, where I actually like signed tax documents and all that good stuff, was I worked at a sign company for a summer. And it's called A Sign Company, so that it was, like, first in the, like, the directory.
Super creative.
It was like, hey, hello, A Sign Company, how can I help you? And
oh, it's not A Sign Company? No, A Sign Company.
They call it, like, Ace Sign Company?
Nope, just A.
I don't
just
know why
A.
The guy who ran it.
Needed
ridiculous.
To be absolutely first.
Absolutely.
It was great. I actually really enjoyed it. It was kind of funny. I mean, it was just a weird, weird first job. Me and, like, two middle-aged guys just hanging out all day.
That's, like, your dream job.
What? That's true. Yeah. That was my first job. This is for the summer after I graduated. So, there you go.
Let's return to the randomizing iPad. Of topics.
9.
A little delayed.
Kickball.
Oh my gosh.
Tamara.
Kickball.
This was your idea.
Well, I threw it out there because I wanted to see if anybody had ever played on an adult rec league
Ooh.
Team. Because the ladies of the Snuggery are putting together a...
That's a
Snuggery.
House where about 14 women live. No, 6 women live.
Just 5 now, I think.
Just 5 now.
Mm-hmm.
And they are friends, and they live in a house, and they live in Seattle. As you were.
What up, Snug? And they are putting together a kickball team for the Adult Rec League here in Seattle.
Yes.
So, and we've been thinking about lots of team names. Team Mojito has been thrown out there.
Okay.
Not Team Snug?
Not Team Snug, although that's a great name, too.
We're not doing, they're not doing, like, couples and, like, couples retreat or
couples
therapy. You want to share this as couples therapy.
The only adult rec league team I've been on was a co-ed soccer team that was put together by some people that go to a church that is connected with Emmanuel, the church that we all happen to go to. And they came and poached Josh for his soccer skills because, let's all be real, Josh has soccer skills. And because it is a couples team, they were like, and I guess Tamara can play too.
And Tamara.
Little did they know how good I am.
And how
showed
many goals
them.
You score.
Showed them.
Goals,
yeah,
goals,
so that's
goals.
My only experience with Adult Rec League. And it was an interesting experience. One, the team was called Couples Therapy.
Yeah.
So,
and two, we needed it.
That's why you guys are married today.
That's right.
That soccer
couples
team.
Couples therapy made
marriage.
All the difference. No, but for real, couples therapy is great for any couple that needs it. I just wanted to clarify, it's an awesome resource. Please find you a therapist if you need that.
Yep,
that I'm not dissing therapy. I'm a therapist.
Couples that play together stay together. Soccer.
Yeah.
Rec league. Co-ed.
There's actually lots of studies out there about playing together, and that's like a...
Play therapy.
Yeah,
I will
great.
Find them, I will quote them, and we will do it again.
I really only have one kickball memory of Seattle, and that's Josh getting out on his first time at bat, and then ruining the game for everyone by destroying the field.
I am, how you say, very competitive.
Yeah, which is surprising given your, like, calm, soft...
Well, I have two modes, or two gears,
just
if
it,
you
that's
will.
It. Just the two.
Just the two. Literally
just the two. And
well,
and,
three
and
now.
And just, like, gears, you have to choose one, so I can either be nice and chill and relaxed if I know that everyone else is nice and chill and relaxed, or I could be like, I'm going to ruin this game right now, but I'm going to win this game right now. And I thought we were in the nice, chill mode. And then Jeff made like a diving catch through the air.
I thought a diving catch would be cool.
Jim
and chill
over here.
And I remember
is
I
that what set you off?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember it because I remember the ball being hit and thinking, oh, I can make like a fun like play at this and like see if I can catch it. And I dove and caught it. And Josh didn't let anyone get on base for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
I won.
You won. It wasn't...
Yeah, and let's just say no one else did. No one else won.
No. As soon as I got the signal and I got it loud and clear from Jeff, hey, this is competitive. I was like, I can do competitive. Let me just change gears.
Oh my gosh. Also, you were playing against Jeff, who like can play in that same realm. And then me and Candace and Savannah, the most non-competitive people.
And I destroyed yours.
And guess who hasn't played kickball since?
Yeah, a little nervous about
I've
signing
not been
up
asked
for this
back.
Yeah.
But I won. That's what's important. For
that's
me.
What's important.
Oh my gosh. Have either of you played on Rec League? You, Jeff? You, Joey?
I have too many stories about being overly competitive. I'd like to just keep it at making fun of Josh and let's move on.
We'll save
it
for another day.
Safe to say this is not a problem unique to me.
Yeah. No.
Oh,
Josh, could you help us out with the iPad of topics?
Two.
Nice.
I helped.
Oh my gosh.
Tamara?
Yeah?
If you were placed on a reality TV show right now, which one would you choose and why?
Shoot. I don't know. I'm not ready for this one.
We're not ready for this question.
Oh my gosh, this is a good question.
Let's throw it over to Joey. Joey, if you were on a reality TV show, what would you do?
Hmm.
Amazing Race. Easy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wait, no.
Wait.
Changing it.
Oh,
how
easy.
How easy was it? How can I in
Bachelor?
In this fantasy world, can I change like my skills and abilities?
I feel like
No.
Because if I could, I would say, so you think you can dance. But if, since I can't
very popular
dance,
show.
I'd go Amazing Race.
Okay.
Because it's competition,
mm-hmm.
which is fun, and then you get to go all over the world, and you're usually doing it with, like, your best friend or your family.
Yeah.
That's
or something.
True.
Mm.
That sounds pretty fun.
I always thought they should make an Amazing Race, but, like, with a pet. You kind of have to, like, you're, like, the whole time, like, you're with a dog, and it's great, and he really helps you, but then at the same time, like, when you get, like, go into the plane, you're like, I gotta put the dog in the cag. And I said, yes, I will pay the extra fee. Yes, it's a TV show. Put the dog. Yes. I just feel like that happens all the time. They probably
it's
edit
like
that
a huge
out.
Obstacle.
Yeah. Like, okay.
What if you had to do the Amazing Race with Zoe?
With Josh's
you
parents'
would
dog.
Lose.
You'd probably lose.
Zoe is such a mess. She would be helpful sometimes. And not helpful a lot.
Once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
Which is to say, never.
Amazing Race would be super fun.
Yeah, it would be. I'd like to go on the Amazing Race with Joey.
You and Joey can go.
Yeah.
Cool?
Oh, okay. I'm down.
You probably have secret skills, and that would be awesome.
Yes.
Secrecy. Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Is that sure? I cannot.
No.
That one.
Psychology skills.
Psychology skills. We could be like this. We could be the settlers.
We could.
Joey and Tamara, cyclers. Every single time. She's like, wait, did they spell it with a P? What?
Oh,
I get it. I don't know if I have a great answer to this. I know I wouldn't want to be on Survivor. Amazing Race would be fun. Bachelor would be terrible. What other reality? Like, Keep Up with the Kardashians would be fun. I'd do that.
It's not a reality game show.
Oh, did we say game show?
Oh, wait, we're game show?
Just reality shows? TV
show,
oh,
I'm changing
right?
it.
Oh, Wheel of Fortune would be Ty.
Oh,
the Wahlburgers.
Those are like
the Wahlburgers.
I'd be on the Wahlburgers.
I don't even know what that is.
That's Mark Wahlberger's family owns a burger shop.
Mark Wahlberg or Mark Wahlberger?
Did I say Wahlberger?
Yeah. Mark Wahlberger.
Mark Wahlberg's family owns a burger shop in Boston, and it's all about running the burger shop. It's amazing.
Oh my gosh, I love
just
that.
lots of like Boston angst. And
I love that.
Just the best.
You know what? I kind of love Cake Boss for that same reason.
Ooh,
like the New England like intensity, and they're like trying to get the cakes out, and there's always something that happens.
Yeah.
Oh, also, what's the show where they make fish tanks? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Do you mean Shark Tank?
No. There's
that's
a show.
Not about actual
that's
tanks.
Shoot.
I was really disappointed. There's no sharks.
I've never seen the show, but my family loves it. And it's like this high-end fish tank shop in Hollywood. And they make these insane tanks for all these exotic fishes. And they made one for this, like, for Neil Patrick Harris and the, like, some, like, Houdini store that he runs and helps. I don't know. Anyways, they like made one with like a model of Houdini hanging in it upside down, like his like when he's like. Never mind.
No,
this is getting crazy.
All listening. And we're all interested, but we cannot contribute at all.
Never see it. Sounds
just
interesting.
High-end fish tanks, and they're always like trying to come in under budget.
Yeah.
And there's always something that goes wrong, and like the tank breaks, or there's a water line that leaks, or something.
All those shows of like, we make the best of
what
cakes, fish tanks, cars, whatever it is. Those are all great.
Yes.
They're always interesting.
I gotta look this up. I wish
fish
we had
tanks,
a producer.
Cars.
I'm looking it up.
Josh, you have an answer?
For myself.
What game show I'd want to be on?
Or reality show.
Reality show.
Yeah, we went to game show. I don't know when that happened. I don't know how that happened.
Reality show? I don't know. I mean, I instantly went to game show and I thought Fear Factor.
Evidently,
fear
is not a factor for you.
Oh my god!
I always thought that some of like the athletic, like physical challenges. I was like, I mean, come on.
Could you eat the stuff?
That would be the one hiccup. I don't know if I could eat like a live spider and that kind of stuff. I don't know.
Hey, Jeff, send this pit of snakes. I'd be like, great, I have to buy.
I lose, but I really win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have as strong of a stomach as I thought I did when I was like 15. I might lose, yeah.
And we know how much you love losing.
I do think I'd be really good on Naked and Afraid.
Naked and Afraid? What the heck is that?
It's Survivor, except that you just put people on an island and
naked.
They're naked. And they have to survive for a while.
Yeah,
SNL made fun of it with like Peter Dinklage and Leslie Jones. It was really great.
Oh,
Peter Dinklage.
That's enough.
Could you give us a new number there, Mr. Producer?
Yes.
This
one.
Is good.
One.
Number one. Alrighty. Did you guys eat anything fun this week?
Ooh, food. I had a couple of food excursions. I've decided now that I'm getting older, I'm just going to spend all my money on food, which I feel great about.
That's it? You've decided?
Yeah, I've decided. As
there's
a woman
like,
short of 30, I'm
there's like the
really
necessities. There's, I gotta pay rent, I gotta pay for insurance, and then I just food after that.
Yeah. I don't pay for the first two things.
Oh, okay, cool.
So
it's on the house.
That's what Josh is for. No,
out there is gonna be upset.
No. I pay my rent. I pay my insurance, I promise. No, I went to this place called the London Plain. It's down in Pioneer Square. It's really fancy. It's a market / restaurant / flower shop.
Yeah.
And they have like really fancy good stuff. I had some really awesome food, and I went with a friend, Mayan, who decided that we're going to be restaurant buddies and go to fancy food together all the time. So, London Plain, thanks for treating us to a really lovely brunch. And then Cinco de Mayo at Pecado Bueno was pretty awesome.
They have a mango salsa there that is so bomb.
It's so good.
It is so good.
It's really good.
Did I eat anything this week? Probably nothing healthy. Joe, did you eat anything this week?
Well, because
did you make anything, I guess?
No. Because of work, I eat breakfast or lunch and dinner.
Whoa.
Sunday through Wednesday at work. So I'm left to whatever they're making. It's usually pretty good. And I'm not a really big breakfast guy. So I don't eat many meals that aren't at the facility
work.
That I work at.
Thursday through Saturday, no food.
No food.
No especial.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for this one.
Okay.
Josh? Great. Let's wrap up the show here. Joey, before we do, I'd love to know, I know you have some mad Insta game. Could you let the folks know where to find you on Instagram?
Oh, man.
You have an Instagram?
I do.
What's your AIM name?
My AIM name?
Yes!
Jaywalk B-Balla.
Jaywalk B-Balla!
If you want to contact...
With an A on the end.
Yes!
Jaywalk B-Balla.
If you want to contact Joey, just A-I-M.
Just AIM me at Jaywalk B-Balla. I'm on Saturdays, 7 to 9 p.m.
Otherwise, it might be a little delay.
7 to 9 p.m. That's it, though. Small window.
I think my Instagram's Joey Walker 1.
Okay. Yes, Joey Walker 1.
Yeah.
Were you the first one, or was that the second one, really, because Joey Walker was gone?
Is it second?
Nice.
At least second.
Okay.
That's following you now.
Whoop. Whoop de whoop.
Yeah.
You have Twitter as well?
Yes. I don't know what that is.
Perfect.
I only tweet Formal Nachos and the Tim Bros, so...
Yeah, love the
Tim
Bros.
You can find me through those, too.
Just if you follow me, then you can probably find Joey.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So good. Thanks so much for being on our show. It was
yeah,
thank
awesome
you for having
me.
Super fun.
Yeah, also
looking
to have
behind
someone
the scenes.
From another part of the Northwest.
Hey, like our studio.
It's great.
The acoustics in here.
Yeah.
They're wonderful.
They're really
do you like
good.
The posters on the wall and all of the,
I do like the posters on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great. Love
the Pope.
And the Pope's here.
I love the Pope's here. Just blessing people.
That's right.
It is a Christian
podcast.
Is it Protestant Christian podcast? I don't know.
Oh. We'll get into that next
Francis.
Time.
Join us next week.
Man.
You can follow us at Formal Nachos and myself at Jeff Budke on Twitter, and then Tammy Lynn at Tamara Lynette on Instagram.
On the Insta. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'd love to have you on the show. If anyone out there is an animal expert, we're still looking for you. I would really like to have you on the show.
I actually am an animal expert. You guys just never asked me any animal questions.
Oh, time wasted.
When giraffes hit each other,
mm-hmm.
is that affectionate or are they like fighting?
Well, it's a fine line between aggression and affection.
Love and hate, very similar.
Again, if you're in need of a couples therapist, please reach out. There's no shame.
And the zoo is right there.
Oh my god.
So
there's lots of experts nearby.
Why are raccoons following me? Answer the question.
It has something to do with your cold feet.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
He's referring to my actual
not,
foot that is
yeah,
cold.
Not cold
not,
feet.
Not that I'm afraid
like
to like
cold
make
talk
any
about
decision.
This
we'll talk about this later.
Foot. It's a medical condition.
So what's our story going into Canada? Well, clearly you and I are together. And we're going into the
clearly lovers.
On our 3-week anniversary. I don't think they're gonna believe that. You're right, tell them we're going to a soccer game. They'll believe that.
They'll believe that.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I got out of hand.
Oh gosh. Are foxes always in first place, or is that just this year?
They are. I have nothing witty to say to that.
Josh, what'd you learn on the show this week?
This week on the show, I learned that Knut Haukeland of the Norwegian resistance fame during World War II was actually a twin. Not only did he help destroy the Vemork heavy water plant, but his twin sister was actually an actress who had a very famous career. And actually, he acted a little bit too and acted as himself in the movie about his exploits during World War II thereafter. But I didn't know he was a twin until one of my students did a project on him. And this concludes all of my what I have learned about World War II. After this week, I will move on to something new. I promise.
What happens after World War II?
Stay tuned.
Yeah, this is actually purgatory right now.
Why?
Joey, what'd you learn?
What?
I learned that couples therapy is really great and attainable, and there's resources out there, and if there anyone are. Is in need of that or thinks they might be in need of that, you should pursue that.
And it really starts with a t-shirt.
It does.
That's all it takes.
As long as they all just match.
Been there, done that.
Do it again.
No. Oh, what'd you learn? I didn't know that was my job.
We made it your job.
Tamara.
They're not going to know if that was me or you.
That was my job.
Tamara.
Tamara.
I learned a couple things, though. One, there's a fine line between affection and aggression.
Hello.
And two, there are people who are still using AIM, mainly between the hours of 7 and 9 on Saturdays.
Thanks, Joey.
Yep.
Jeff, what'd you learn on the podcast?
I learned that in the last 6 months, Joey's been congratulated for being bit at work. And in an earlier moment in his life, Joey was the best tree flocker in the West.
West of the Mississippi, more specifically. Oh,
you don't really lose that, though. I mean, it's safe to say.
That stays with you.
You still are.
Yeah. The glitter.
We're not arborists.
The glitter never fades.
The glitter never fades. I actually invented a style of flocking.
What?
Is it the Joey Walker one?
Do you
it's
call
called,
it?
It's called the first snow.
What? That's so on flock.
Wow.
Well, explain it.
Oh, okay. Right. I want to know more. So when the regular flock is, you're pointing your flocking gun right at the tree. So the flock's going right on it. But if you shoot it up, the flock goes up into the air and then falls down on top and then clumps on top of the tree, just like in nature. And it looks really great.
You are nature.
I am nature.
Father Nature. Joey Walker 1.
Oh, animal expert. Father Nature.
Walker extraordinaire.
That ending was smooth like a limousine.
That's too real.
Metal Kip.
Oh my god.
On flock.
Yeah, fiction. Then.
Let me get mine by genre right now.
Poetry, fiction.
Very broad.
If you're Josh Norquist, you organize your books by genre and color.
Well, you only buy books that Josh correspond to...
Nobody's Josh Norquist.
His genre. Oh, what kind of book is it? Oh, it's science fiction? What color? No, thanks.
Sorry, I'm looking for a yellow
I'm looking for a yellow science fiction.
That's why he won't read Red Rising.
Yeah, because it's red.
That doesn't fit his scheme.
Are you ready?
Where did my pocket rocket go?
I think so.
Is it working?
Yeah, it's going.
Okay.